right now, looking forward to talking Browns and Jets. And, of course, tomorrow night. Will tomorrow night be it? 633 days. December 24th, 2016. They've come close these first 2 weeks. They've played, well, good enough to win. Yeah, I think that's fair. Have the other teams also been bad enough for them to win? Sure. They tied one. They lost last week. We bring in Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, as all our guests do, joining me on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Boy, Nate, I'm usually someone who takes a lot of heat from listeners because I, and I'm sure you get this, need to be more positive. And if you, I was more positive, the media was more positive, Browns would be much better off. But I really do believe that the Browns are going to get it done tomorrow night. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the way this thing's shaping up as far as a short week. Sam Darnold, you got, you know, two games on the road, 3 in 10 days. Am I out of my mind, and I've been down this road before, am I out of my mind thinking that maybe the stars will finally align and after 633 days the Browns will get that win?
I don't think you're out of your mind. I really don't. I think that, you know, you get, the way you're looking at it is very logical. Look at what they did the last two games against future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I know Sam Darnold's been promising, but, you know, he is a rookie quarterback. He's playing on the road. And, you know, I just see a defense that's really confident right now in the Browns locker room. And, you know, they had 13 takeaways last season, ranking last in the league, and they've already got 8 through 2 games. And, you know, they're a little bit banged up, but, you know, the Browns are favored by 3 points in this game. They're at home, you know, and I just think that the way that defense is playing, when you, you know, considering who they faced at quarterback the last 2 weeks, that, you know, they should get this done. You know, we've been let down many, many times, so should doesn't really mean a whole lot, but I am picking the Browns in a close one.
Well, Nate, we'll get to the injuries here in a moment, but I like what you said there in terms of, you know, the turnovers first and foremost. Look, that can be a mirage through two games, and you'll see. I mean, even the Jets have a lot of turnovers through, I think, two games, and maybe even a lot of sacks. They don't necessarily have an edge rusher. There's different ways to get it done, but I think with the Browns, this is for real. It feels for real, at least on the defensive side of the ball. I know they still got to get a win. But when you're talking about Myles Garrett, you're talking about now all of a sudden Larry Ogunjobi, that secondary, which, you know, maybe Demaryius Randall, we'll see if he's going to be ready tomorrow night. But these are guys with talent, and this is now a scheme that Greg Williams, I think, feels comfortable turning some guys loose. And through 2 weeks, that's exactly what we've seen.
Yeah, and it's funny because they really had lights-out performances in the preseason. And it's hard to really know if they're for real in the preseason because the preseason is the preseason. We can be fooled by it. But if you think about it, they really got it going in that dress rehearsal game against the Eagles when they had the 4 takeaways. And then in the opener, 6 takeaways. And then 2 more, you know, against Drew Brees and the Saints in the Superdome. And I was talking to Joe Schobert about this. And he has this theory that sacks, you know, are kind of contagious in the turnovers for a defense. Creating turnovers are kind of the same way. That once you get rolling, there's just a certain confidence and mindset that a defense has. And I think it was embodied this past weekend by Terrence Mitchell, who – was making tackles on the perimeter on wide receivers, one on Michael Thomas and one on Ted Ginn Jr. He had help with one of the tackles, but he's just going for the ball. He's just going for the ball. He's trying to punch it out. There's such an emphasis on it, and there always has been, but I feel like with the talent upgrade that John Dorsey has given this roster, that, you know, it's not just something that's coach speak anymore. You actually have guys who are talented enough to make the plays and to actually create some of these turnovers that we're seeing.
So you brought up T.J. Carey, and I mean, you know, there's where I look at the injury to Demaryius Randle, and make no mistake, I think he has been, through two games, a great acquisition, kind of the, I don't want to say catalyst, but maybe the captain of that defense as far as making everything work on the back end. But if he's out, are they still okay? And if he's out, would it be, what, Breanbody Calhoun moving to safety? And then T.J. Carey, like you said, I mean, he played very well, I thought, last week. Even without Demaryius Randle, are they still okay against Sam Darnold, obviously trying to get that ball downfield?
Well, that's going to depend a lot on Breanbody Calhoun. Yeah, he would start at free safety. You know, he did not fare well in the opener at nickel corner. It was a tough matchup. Juju Smith-Schuster is a dynamic player, and Demaryius Randle and Breanbody Calhoun actually flopped roles late in the game, with Body Calhoun going to free safety and Randle covering Juju Smith-Schuster in the slot. I'm talking like late fourth quarter and overtime.
Right.
So we have seen it. It's good to have that versatility for a lot of reasons, for matchup reasons and for injury reasons. And so if Randle can't go, yeah, Breanbody Calhoun will get that nod. And then because he did have some problems in the opener, T.J. Carey filled that slot role against the Saints and played pretty well. So they've got depth in that secondary. You know, E.J. Gaines is a guy who started a lot of games and who spent a lot of time with Greg Williams and is coming off a knee injury, but we really haven't seen him in any kind of extensive role yet. And so he's kind of, you know, there on the shelf right now. So that's what I mean about this defense having that, you know, upgraded talent and how that's helped, because for the first time in a while, there is some depth.
He's Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, covers the Browns, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Browns Jets tomorrow night at First Energy Stadium. We've got your kickoff. Heck, we've got your pregame beginning at 2 right here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Nate, now we go to the other side of the ball, and that's where the struggles have been. And I don't want to say shocking, because I don't know, even though I know Tyrod Taylor said something, or Jarvis Landry said something about 40 a game, or whoever it was. We didn't expect that, but we expected them, I think, to have a better running game. They haven't really had that. And Tyrod Taylor, I don't want to say, we know what we're getting with Tyrod Taylor, right? He's not necessarily a guy that's going to just fling it all over the yard, but at the same time, you don't want him holding them back. Do you feel that through two games, it's fair to say that about Tyrod Taylor, or is it more about, hey, you know, you've got guys around him and new guys around him that he's still getting adjusted to?
Well, I think he had a really rocky opener, and I would think that the criticism against him in the opener is fair. I thought he played a lot better against the Saints. You know, they're still not converting on third down the way you'd want, but I don't pin it all on him either. You know, here's the thing that I have an issue with and that I'm sure Tyrod Taylor wants to clean up. He is known for taking care of the ball, and he has thrown an interception at crucial times in each of the first two games late in the fourth quarter. Obviously, against the Saints, he did rebound from that interception with that phenomenal touchdown pass to Antonio Callaway, and then the two throws, you know, with like less than 20 seconds left to set up the field goal. And we know what happened from there, but credit to him, he did step up and make a few really big plays at the end of the game. But those interceptions at those times have been backbreaking, and, you know, you brought him here to take care of the ball, and he's got to clean that up. For them to get this done tomorrow, that trend has to end, I think.
I also think to get this done tomorrow, in addition to everything you said and I agree with, they've got to get this running game going. What has been, if you can put your finger on one or two things, what's been holding back the running game?
Well, that's a great question. you know, I don't want to pin the blame just on Carlos Hyde. You know, he's gotten most of the opportunities. You know, the offensive line with Desmond Harrison in there, that's a big adjustment. I hit the panic button really hard on Desmond Harrison after the opener, and I'll admit it.
I did too. Yep.
I think he played a lot better against the Saints, and the improvement was greater than I thought it would be. But I think that the issue you're going to see with him is dealing with power, and that's, you know, trying to defend against the bull rush and pass protection. But also, you know, you've got to be nasty and powerful and strong to make a difference in the running game. And I'm not blaming all the running game woes on Desmond Harrison alone, but I do think that the offensive line, you know, as a whole, has got to step it up when it comes to that. And, you know, I just want to see – I know Duke Johnson got stopped on that 4th-and-1, and, you know, he said, hey, I've just got to make that. And I agree. But I just keep coming back to a simple, you know, there's nothing complicated about this. It's very simple thinking. Just try to get the ball into the hands of your best playmakers as often as possible. And I just want Duke Johnson more involved, not just strictly as a runner, but as a receiver. And, you know, I think that you're going to see that. It just hasn't been there enough so far.
Yeah, that's I'm going to stop you there just because I totally agree with you. That was actually my next question. I mean, Duke Johnson, we heard it all last year, and it got to a point where we just kind of rolled our eyes, you know, with, oh, he's going to be – and that was coming from Hugh Jackson. Now, and I think we all felt and still feel to some degree much more optimistic. Okay, hey, Todd Haley's calling the plays, and that's off the plate of Hugh Jackson, so – you know, Haley has now said it, but yet through two games, that's still the case. Do you expect – when you say you expect to see Duke Johnson, and I hope you're right, more involved tomorrow, can that be just out of the backfield, even lined up in the slot, just all over the field? Is that what hopefully we're going to see tomorrow night out of Duke?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, you know, Josh Gordon's gone, and – he is a guy, no matter if he knows the routes or doesn't, the defense is going to have to pay a lot of attention to him. And so the dynamic changes for the offense, I mean, without him on the field. And you got to be more creative. And Duke is a guy that allows you to be creative because he can do so much. I mean, he was one of the best playmakers on the team, if not the best playmaker on the team last season, and earned a contract extension from a new GM who – had no history with him previously. That says a lot. And I just think it would defy logic to waste him. So I believe that the Browns will have enough sense to get him going.
All right, final prediction before I cut you loose here. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm sure you're going to have it in tomorrow's edition, but it sounds like you like the Browns. I like the Browns, which maybe everybody should be afraid of if we're both in agreement here liking them. But what do you, give me a score and how you think this one plays out.
Yeah, I've got the Browns 21-17. I think the defense plays another good game and forces a few turnovers, and I think that it's going to be enough. I think Myles Garrett, after kind of a quiet week two, is going to make noise similar to what he did in week one. And just with the home crowd and everybody geeked up for prime time, I think that, you know, it's going to be a great environment for that defense to really kind of take over.
Nate, always a pleasure, buddy. Keep up the great work. We'll talk again soon, pal.
Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Nate Ulrich on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from the Akron Beacon Journal.